Hi, this is Rabbi Moskowitz. Hi, we're up to Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Gimel. And it says, Notze Piv Shome Nafsho, and Posek Sefos of Mechitalo. He who guards his mouth guards his soul, and he who opens his mouth wide destroys himself. Once again, he who guards his mouth guards his soul, and he who opens his mouth wide destroys himself. What are the questions?
What are we talking about guarding your mouth? What is that?
Guarding your mouth. Okay, that's a good question.
What does it mean by opening your mouth? What does it mean by opening your mouth?
Opening your mouth wide means to speak without thought.
Why did Shlomo Malach write guarding your mouth and opening your mouth as opposites? Isn't opening your mouth and closing your mouth the better opposite?
No, guard. Guard means you don't close. You don't have to not talk. We don't take a vow of silence. Okay? So the thing is, you have to know when you should talk and when you should not talk. So the question is, how do you guard your mouth? Or what does it mean, guard your mouth?
And how does guarding your mouth guard your life or your soul?
I mean, then you don't, because you won't say things sequential. Any other questions? There's one more question. The whole pasuk is, besides that one question of how do you guard your mouth, the question is, I mean, we're talking to a person that doesn't guard his mouth, right? So we're saying you should guard your mouth. So he says, how do you do that? I don't know how to do that. So that's a good question. But otherwise, the whole pasuk is obvious. I mean, definitely, if you think about before you talk, all the consequences of what you have to say, so... So then you'll be okay. And if you just talk whatever comes to mind, you're going to fail. I mean, that's obvious. I don't know why he has to tell us this pasuk. Okay? That's to me all the questions. Are there any other? All right, we're going to go according to the Metzudas David. Very interesting, Mitzvah's David. He says, Notze Piv, guarding his mouth, Miladamber Dova Hanese, from speaking something that is usar. Speaking something that is usar, that means halacha. Now, Mishle is not a halacha book. So the question is, what is the Mitzvah's David saying that you should keep the halachos of verbal prohibitions? That's the question. You have to understand that Mishle is, you could learn Mishle as a book in and of itself. Seems to be that way, but it's really not true. Mishle is a part of Torah. It's part of a halacha. And here it's very obvious, according to the Metzudas David, to bring together the halacha and the philosophy. And he says that if you keep the halacha of verbal prohibitions, then you are already guarding your mouth. And once you're thinking about what you think, that will help you with the second half where you might make a mistake. So you'll stop to think before you talk. You already have a guard. The guard is halacha. And that comes, and once you guard your mouth with halacha, with all the surei diburim, all the verbal prohibitions, so then your mind is already thinking about the about what you talk. It's already a guard. Now, once you start guarding, then it'll help in everyday life. All the times you speak, you'll always notice when there's a consequence, what you should say and what you should not say. And as we learn Mishlei more and more, so you'll train how to think about what you're going to say. Okay? That is the answer according to the Metzudas David.
What?
You go ahead.
Like Lashon Hara, because that's an incredibly difficult thing to stop. It's not like the halakhic things, I feel like, are even in some ways harder than just the everyday consequences.
That is true, we'll try to go through the halachos. So we'll discuss it as we go through the halachos.
Okay.
Okay? I don't know if we'll finish today. We'll see. Anyway, on the second half, he says, posek. That means to open wide. Hamarchiv sefasav, who widens his lips. Ladaber kola ola alibo, to speak about anything that goes, that he thinks about immediately. Whatever enters his mind, he speaks. Hilo lamachata, that's for destruction. So the subject of this pasuk is how halacha affects speech. Okay?
Is that destruction going to be the Isurei Dibor that guarding your mouth would protect you from?
Well, the thing is, there's another point, and that is that if you keep all the halachos, it will keep you from the consequence, not only halacha consequences, but from saying stupid things. That already is part of Mishlei. If you keep the halachic, that is part and parcel, part of Mishlei.
Okay.
Are there any questions on the... What? Did anybody ask a question?
Yeah. How is it the opposite? Shouldn't the opposite be someone who doesn't keep halacha? Someone who doesn't keep the halachas of Dibros?
No, there is two things. There is protecting yourself and not protecting yourself. That's the two sides. So to protect yourself, you need the halacha. And if you don't protect yourself, so you don't use halacha. So you don't follow the halacha.
Right, but he doesn't say you don't follow halacha. He just says you say whatever. I mean, I guess it's the same thing, maybe.
He's not following the halachas of speech, I'm talking. When I talk about halacha in this pasuk, it's only the halachas of speech.
But what is the Masudas David saying for Poshek? He's saying that you don't keep the halachas of speech, or he's saying that you say everything that comes to your mind?
You say anything that comes to your mind.
Is that the same thing as not keeping the halachas of speech?
Yes. Okay. That's included. That's included of saying anything that comes to your mind.
So, yeah, then I guess the question of, it seems sort of obvious, but what is the clear consequence. You're just going to get yourself into trouble by saying foolish things. Can we get the consequence
right.
a little clearer?
Yeah, and if you get caught talking Lashon Hara, if you get caught talking Lashon Hara, that already is a consequence.
Why? Because what's the consequence?
If people know that you're talking about them, they're not going to like you. You're going to make an enemy.
All right, there's
social
consequences.
Right. So there's consequences to not... There are consequences to not keeping the halacha.
So what's from this? It seems obvious, then.
What?
This seems obvious. What's the chiddush here, so to speak?
No, his chiddush is that you have to keep halacha to protect yourself.
And what was our initial assumption? I mean,
we said our original question was, how do you guard yourself? That's what you asked originally in the first question. How do you guard yourself? That's
what
the Matutis David is answering, that question.
So we're saying that the Chiddush here is that halacha is a mechanism of training yourself how to think about
it. That's right. Halacha is a way of affecting it.
So who's this talking to? Someone that wants to learn how to train their speech?
It's somebody that wants to protect themselves against harming himself and training himself to think before he speaks and to think of all the consequences.
Why is it easier to start with halacha and then move on to the entire area of just thinking about consequences than just starting with consequences? Meaning, it's not like halacha is an easy thing to train yourself with. It's very difficult in the speech areas. Lashon Hara, these are like, you know, because all seem to apply, it's almost impossible not to get involved in these kind of things from time to time.
It might be hard, but that's the training that to begin with for a person that's not trained, that's the best way of starting, according to the Matsudos.
Why? Because keeping halakha is easier than taking upon the entire...
I don't think it's easier. I'm not saying what's easy. I'm just saying... It forces you to think before you speak, so that will extend to everyday life, to thinking before you speak.
Right. But why do you start with halacha and then go to everyday life, is my question. Why is it in that order?
Because halacha already forces you to keep, to think before you speak.
But could a person start, or is there something that's necessary about the training of halacha? Does halacha train you in a better way?
No, just here. We're only talking about dibur. I'm not giving a philosophy of halacha.
No, I'm saying the hilchos of dibur. Do those train you in regards to your dibur better than just, you know, thinking about consequences?
Yeah, naturally, you're not going to start thinking of consequences. You need something. In fact, you asked the question, how do you guard yourself? If you're able to do it naturally, you wouldn't have asked the question.
Right. We're saying it's a question how you train yourself. We don't know. So we're saying this is the regimen.
This is the answer of the Matsudas David. There might be other answers. This one is very interesting because it connects halacha with Mishlei. Okay. So for that, we have to go to Hilchos Deah. And if you go to the mitzvos at the beginning, before Perek Rishon, it has the mitzvos. The first one mitzvah that we come across is Shelol Lahalbon Ponim. Shouldn't insult somebody. I don't know if we're going to finish this. It might be too long. If it takes too long, then we'll continue next week. Okay? And I don't have all the answers in halacha. You might have to do some research. The first one is Shelol Lahalbon Ponim. Now, the way you shouldn't insult somebody to his face. Now, it uses the word halben. Halben comes from the word lovan. Lovan is white. Now, I know of red. I don't know too much about the white. I mean, offhand, I would say red is a little less of an insult than white. But I don't know. That you have to know the physiology of the face. And if you insult somebody and he only comes red, is that different than if he becomes white? Or there's no difference? I don't know. He doesn't speak about it in the Halachos, not that I could find. So all I'm telling you is what the problem is. But the first halacha that you have to know about speech, Isurei, the prohibition of speech, is not to insult anybody. If you want to get the halachos exact, you're going to have to ask to do the research. Are there any questions? That's as far as I could go. Okay, now, the last three are the problematical. He says, Shelo Laholoch Rachel, should not tell Rechilis, that's one thing. Shelo Linkom, that's vengeance, you should not take vengeance. And Shelo Lintor, whatever that means. Okay? Now, those three we're going to deal with extensively. Okay? And we're going to Hilchos Deos, Perek Zion, that's seventh Perek, Halacha Aleph. And we'll go through them slowly. Amaragel Bechavero, if somebody, he didn't define a regilis yet. Later on, he'll give a definition. Over below Sase, he's over with the low Sase, Shenema, Lotelech Rachel Bamecha. You should not carry Rechilus in your nation. Vaval Pi She'ein Lokano Al Dovazeh. Even though you don't get Malchus on it, Oven Godohu. It's an unbelievable sin. It's an unbelievable sin. Even though you don't get Malchus, don't think it's nothing. The Goreim Laharig Nafshos Rabos, and it causes to kill many people, the Israel of Israel. Lekach Nismachlo, therefore it's in the same proximity, right close to it, it says in the Torah, V'lo samod al dam reyecha. So it says you shouldn't stand on the blood of your brother or your friend. So he says the reason why, because it brings death. Now he gives them a mashal. He says, say, Laman, go out and learn my era, what happened, Lodoe Koadomi. I'll have to tell you the story. When David HaMelech was running away from Shaul, so he ran to a city of Kohanim. If I remember correctly, all he did is they gave him food and he borrowed a sword. Okay? Because he was on the run from Shaul. And there was Doeg HaAdomi was in the city at the time. And he immediately went to Shaul and told Shaul about the Kohanim, what they did, and Shaul killed out all the Kohanim. So that is the story of Rechilus from Doeg HaAdomi. He immediately told what the Kohanim did. Okay? He's still not defining Rechilus. Whatever it is. Okay? One time I heard a story about a person that was at a teacher's house and the teacher was complaining about the principal. And when he left left lunch, he went immediately to the principal to tell the principal that he's talking about him. An exact act of doeg ha'adomi. I mean, that's a ma'isa shehoya. That's a story that happened. Okay, halacha beis. Eizehu rachol. What is rachol? Zeh she'toein devarim, that he collects things, v'holech mizeh lezeh, and he goes from this person to this person, v'omer, and he says, kach oma ploni. This is what this person said. Kach v'kach shemati apoloni. This is what I heard about the person. So, Rachel, that seems to be Lashon Hara, and he confirms it later, that Lashon Hara and Rechilas are under this one category. Afal pi shehu emes, even though it is true, harizeh machrev es ha'olam, he destroys the world. Yesh oven gadol mizeh ad miyod. There's another sin, which is even much greater than this, the chlal lav zeh, and it's included in this lav, v'hu lashon hara. See, he says it openly. V'hu, and what is lashon hara? V'hu amesaper b'gnos chavero. He says it, the degradation. Something, gnus is a fault or a degradation or a shame of about his friend. Afal pisha oma emes, even though he says it in truth. Aval omer sheker, he who says shekra nimtza nikra motzi shemra al chavero. That's a different is called Motzi Shemra, but he doesn't talk about it here, so I can't talk about it. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's probably an Issa Deraisa, but I'm not sure how to categorize it. I'm not sure. So that's another thing where Motzi Shemra. So we're only talking about where you say the truth about a person. Once you lie, that's a different Issa. That's not Rechilas or Lashon Hara.
I'm
also confused. When the Ram says, Yesh Oven Gadol Mizeh Ad Me'od,
what is the difference between that and the
Rechilus
of the first part?
Rechilus is where I say what you said. Lashon Hara, he'll give descriptions of Lashon Hara where I talk about your faults. Not what you said. If I said so-and-so said this, okay, like Doeg ha'adomi. Well, that was, it might be Lashon Hara, I'm not sure. But in the case of the principal, he said this is what he said. That's Rechilas. But if I say you have a funny nose, that's not Rechilas, that's Lashon Hara. I'm putting you down. Got the difference?
Right. And what if I say something disparaging that you said? That's not Lashon Hara either. It has to be actually something about you, not that you said.
Well, is it for Gnai? Is it an insult?
Is Rechilas? I thought Rechilas is something to stir up conflict, though. Meaning, Rechilas is not considered a Gnai?
Rechilas is, I say what you said about... I carry what you said to the guy that it concerns.
And what's the problem? What's the problem with that? Because it's gonna like David Melch or Doeg, that it's going to people are gonna get angry at you or something like that.
So you see that he killed out all of the whole city of Kohanim. Sholel, because of Dori Gadomi, he wiped out the whole city of
right.
of Kohanim. Okay? It's a funny thing. This guy, Doeg, his name lives in infamy over Rechilas. Okay, anyway. Aval Baal Lashon Hara. What is the Baal Lashon Hara? Zeshe Yoshev. This person sits. Va'omer kach v'kach osa poloni. Such and such what a person did. Also, kach v'kach hoyu avosov. He has, his parents. You should know his parents. They're unbelievable. They're evil people. In other words, that's also a ganai. Kach v'kach shemati olav. Such and such I heard about him. V'oma devarim shel ganai. And he says words of ganai, of insult, or degradation or put down. Alzeh omar kasav, and he brings the pasuk. Okay, fine. That ends halacha beis. Halacha gimel. Amru chachamim. The chachamim say, shalosh averos nifron min ha'odam ma'olam hazeh. There are three sins that a person pays in this world, and he also doesn't have a portion in the coming world. What are they? Avodas kochavim, gilei arayos, u'shvichas damim. And then they add, Chazal add, v'loshen hara keneged kulam. And loshen hara is equal to all three of them. So loshen hara is equal to all three of these things. Aye. The Oda Amr Chacham, and the Chacham further said, Kol HaMasaber B'Loshen Hara Ki Ilu Kofa Be'ikar. It's as if he's Kofa Be'ikar. I mean, these things need explanation. I'm only giving the facts. How you explain them, there are explanations. Rabbi Chait gave there are explanations. But however, I'm not going into the explanations. I'm just going through the fact. Shenema, because then he brings the pasuk. Fine. Vod and further, Amru Chachamim, Shlosha Loshen Hara Horeges. There are three people that Lashon Hara kills. Ha'omro, ha'makablo, v'zesha omer olav. The three people that are killed by Lashon Hara is the one who speaks, the one who receives or listens, and the one that you spoke about. Ha'makablo, and he who receives, yoseh min ha'omro, is more than he who speaks. Here I could give you two theories why the speaker is the receiver is worse than the speaker. So my wife's theory is that the one that speaks has a crazy motive, his emotional motive, but he still has a motive. The one that listens only likes to hear bad about people. So that's worse, that you just want to listen to bad. It doesn't affect you. You're not emotionally involved. So she wants to say that's why the Macablo is worse. Rabbi Weiss wants to say at CD, he wants to say that that the insofar as evil is concerned, probably the speaker might be worse. But insofar as doing tshuva is concerned, the one that speaks it has an excuse. Speech, the reason why people talk lashon hara and they won't smack a person, because to you it's not an action. In the unconscious, in the unconscious mind, speech is not an action. So he says, I didn't do anything. That's the rationalization of the speaker. The other one did, is even worse, because he didn't even speak. So for him, it's harder to do tshuva. So therefore, he wants to say that's why he says the makabel is worse, because it's harder for him. It's harder for him to do tshuva. At least you did some type of action. We could point out that speaking is bad. But receiving is, I didn't even say anything. Why should I be worse? So CD wants to say that the reason is because it's harder to do tshuva. Okay? Any questions on this theory?
Can you read that last point there?
In other words, he's worse in the fact that he can't, it's harder for him to do tshuva. Because he didn't do anything. If you have a rationalization with speech that it's not an action, you'd certainly have a rationalization if you didn't say anything. So therefore, he's worse in the sense that it's harder to do tshuva.
But it might be hard to do tshuva. But the Rambam lists, plenty of things in Hilchos Tshuva that are difficult to do to tshuva from. But this is the only one of those, if I'm not mistaken, that's compared explicitly to these things and that will lose you your Olam Haba. So I don't understand that fully.
I understand. But if one is harder than the other, right? In other words, it's worse insofar as he has a greater rationalization of not doing tshuva, of that I didn't do anything wrong. And that were, so in the sense of the ability to do tshuva, he's worse off.
I understand, but for example, the Rambam lists five things that if you do them, you're going to continue after them, and it's very hard to separate from them, because, again, you don't feel like you did anything. He says, Refuse, Lashon Hara, Baal Chema, Baal Machshav Ra'ah, and Mitchaber Larasha. All these things, you feel like you're not really doing any bad action, I guess. But is there something special about Lashon Hara of all of these things?
This is a macabre.
What do you mean by that?
He's the makabel. He receives. He only listens.
Only when you listen, you feel like you didn't do anything at all.
Like there you have a greater rationalization that I didn't do anything wrong. So it's harder to do tshuva.
Uh-huh. But even though you can't do tshuva, why is the quality of the sin so great? Meaning, I hear it's hard to do tshuva, but why is the consequence so terrible?
If you have a harder time doing tshuva than another person, you're in worse shape.
More than other isurim, it'll be bad for you? Meaning, I understand you're
you will not. You have a harder time doing tshuva. You're further from tshuva than the first guy.
I understand, but just because you don't do tshuva, let's say I'm bad in one other faith and I don't do tshuva, does that mean I don't get Olam Haba and whatnot?
I don't know. I don't give out Olam Haba. You'll have to ask somebody else.
Right.
Rabbi, could it be because when he's listening, the listener is setting a stage for for the one who speaks Lashon Hara to do that. So it's the worst. The worst.
If there's nobody, he's always going to find somebody to listen.
Okay.
Okay. I think you understand what I said. If you have any questions,
I understand. I mean, I understand why you're saying that the listener is worse. My question is just why is the Avera itself so dead? Why is the Avera of Lashon Hara like these other three, the big three?
Oh, you want that? The one.
Yeah, that was not why I listen to first. Sorry.
Okay, that'll take a little time.
Should we call it for next week then?
I don't know. 1 minute. What was the other question? Somebody else had a question. Somebody else jumped in. What was the question? Somebody else said something.
I was just going to say, I think, I'm not sure, I just heard about the question of why the person loses Olam Haba. I think I heard that if he's a Baal Lashon Hara, not like if he just speaks it once. I think, did you say that?
Yeah, I think also it's a person that's involved in Lashon Hara. There's certain people that are known. I mean, I don't know if you guys lose the... I don't know. I really don't know. Could be right.
I heard because his soul is involved in just like the physical particulars, and it draws his involvement so much that he can't be involved in like greater abstractions. Or I mean, that's my only understanding of it.
Could be. I don't know. Next question. You want the answer to your question about the three things?
If you want to do it regalachas now, I mean, if
okay.
You're going to do regalachas now and you're going to do it fully fleshed out next week, I'd rather do it next week. If you want,
I'll do it stretched out now, and then we come into another subject of Avak Lashon Hara. So we'll start the new one next week, okay?
Okay, so let's take us up now then.
So let's take that up now. And I also might as well answer why you're a kofer, if we have enough time. Okay.
Okay, sounds good.
The three things are what? Murder, Gilui Arayos, and Shvichas Dam. Okay? Let's see if I remember it. I haven't gone over it in a long time. All right. Shvichas Dam, it's equal to Shvichas Dam because a Shvicha, the thing is, the motive comes from the same source. I want to destroy you. But the only one is, I would say, cowardly a murder, and one is open murder. Cowardly murder, I really want to kill you. I really want to destroy you completely. But I'm not a murderer, so I do it in a cowardly way. That's Shvichas Dam. Is that clear?
Why is Shvichas Dam cowardly murder? Why isn't that just brazen murder?
Because I'm afraid I really want to destroy the guy completely. It comes from the same motive as murder. Comes from the same source. You want to destroy the person. But I don't have the guts to murder. That's a real act. So I do a cowardly act. I speak behind his back.
I can't even
insult him. I mean, at least if I insult him, I come to his face. This is totally behind his back. He doesn't even know I'm doing it. It's a cowardly act of murder.
Okay, I see that.
See that? Okay. Now,
so is it just as bad as murder, or is it less bad because at least you're not doing the full action, or is it equal? You're saying you still have the same feeling.
It's equal. It says equal. doesn't say it's worse. It says it's equal.
It's true, but, I mean, it's tough for me to believe that doing the act is not a worse thing, you know? Like, there's really a consequence to that, you know? A serious consequence.
And there's no serious consequence to Lashon Hara?
There are, but...
Now you're rationalizing. Now you see where you could talk Lashon Hara all day. It's the same thing. It's the same motive. But you're too cowardly to kill anybody. Okay?
Yeah, so what about the other two?
What about the other two? Just 1 minute. Let's go to Avodah Zarah. That one I remember. Avodah Zarah. What is Avodah Zarah? How does Avodah Zarah work? Now, there's a piece of wood here, and somehow you think it has all these powers. The question is, how could a normal human being, if you look at this piece of wood, where did it get all that power? What do you say?
Well, I think really most of the time what it is that you feel like you yourself have some kind of powers like this, or you you know, you really think you're the center of the universe, but you can't fully admit that to yourself, so you just want to put it on something
right.
else.
So Avodah Zarah comes from a projection of the human being that he is all-powerful, all-God. It comes from an early stage of childhood where he feels he's all-powerful. Nothing could hurt him. He doesn't think it, but it's a certain sense. And he projects that thing onto objects. All Lashon Hara is a projection. In that way, it's like Avodah Zarah.
Why is Lashon Hara projection? Meaning, Lashon Hara, I thought it was an aggressive thing. I want to kill someone. You know, I just want to destroy them in some senses, or at least make fun of them. Why is it that
right.
projection?
Now, you'll notice that everybody that talks Lashon Hara, they usually have a certain approach according to their personality. And the way they speak it and the way, and the type of... Gnus, the type of degradation they put on the person, each person has his own way of doing it. The question is, why is this different? Where does this difference come from?
What do you mean this difference? Difference between what and what?
If I tell Lashon Hara what the type of fault that I'm going to find in you is going to be different than the type of fault that you find in other people. Every human being, when they talk Lashon Hara, there's a certain things that they look at. But they don't look at, they'll listen to other people, they have a different slant, a different view, different way, a different pattern of Lashon Hara. They have a different pattern of Lashon Hara, the way they talk. You ever notice that? I guess you don't talk too much Lashon Hara, so you don't
notice.
No,
I definitely noticed.
So you see that each person looks at the other person from his projection, what he would take as personal.
You're saying the thing he doesn't like about himself, he says about other people?
Right.
So that's...
Yeah, that what he doesn't like about himself, he's projecting onto other people.
So it's sort of like the opposite side of the coin of a Vodazara. Because in a Vodazara, you project your things that you like you love about yourself.
Well, it's different... Hold on. Of course, you're projecting different things in Avodah Zarah than in Lashon Hara, but it's still both a projection.
Right, I'm saying it's the other side of the coin. Avodah Zarah, you're projecting the good things, the things that you fantasize about yourself, and here you're projecting the things that you hate about yourself.
Right. But it both have in common is projection. That is the beginning of a... I mean, once you allow projection freedom, you could have, it could lead to Avodah Zarah. Hero worship. Hero worship, that's a projection.
Is that common amongst speakers of Lashon Hara?
I don't know. I didn't do a survey. I'm just saying they're equal. I'm not doing surveys.
Fair. So, worked with you all right, it seems.
I'm having a hard time remembering Gilly Arias.
I mean, you said in the past that the sexual is also just intimately tied up into the violent part of a person's, emotions or mind.
What?
I've heard you say in the past that the sexual is really tied up into the violent parts of a person.
No, it's...
Is that a different idea?
That's a different idea. But by the way, when they connect it to Kofa B'Yikr, now you can see how you're a Kofa B'Yikr, that it's connected to Kofa B'Yikr but through projection. The same thing as Avodah Zarah. The same thing. The projection. But I don't remember Gilly Arias.
Okay, no problem.
I'll try and get Gilly Arias for next week. And also, we'll start with Halacha Dalet next week.
Great.
Thank you.
Okay, take care, everybody.
Good job.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Good job. Thank you.